First Samuel chapter 8. And this is the record of Samuel the prophet. Was old. He was judging Israel, and he was sort of, but you know, he was getting towards the end of his life, and his faculties were starting to fail. They had no prophet to take over from him. Samuel's sons didn't really walk with God. So basically, they came to Samuel, and they said, verse 5, "Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge over us like all the nations." We want to be like all the other countries. You ever hear that today? Well, why can't the United States be like the other countries in the world? You know, the other countries, they've got socialized medicine. They have this, they have the, they have, you know, this and this. Well, we don't need to be like the other countries. You know, quite often, if you want to be like everybody else, then it's you're repeating their mistakes. Verse 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel said, 'Well, you know what? I'm going to go to God about this. Rather than just, you know, I don't like it, but I'm going to go to God. Maybe God will like it.' And he prayed to the Lord," verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people, in that they have say to thee, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" So basically, God's saying, go ahead, give them a king. Said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. What it is people want to follow a man. And I teach this a lot, but people are uncomfortable following God. It's amazing. Jesus Christ went through a horrible crucifixion. He gave up his life. His blood was shed. His body was broken so we could have direct access to God. But people want to follow a pastor. They want to follow a pope. They want to follow whatever. They even want to follow Jesus rather than following God. And they want some sort of flesh to follow. And Israel wanted a king. They wanted some champion like a king. And Sam, God says, you know, I don't like it any more than you do, Samuel, but it's, you know, if they're not going to follow, they're not going to follow. Verse 18, "And ye shall cry out in that day, because your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, we want a king, we want a king.'" It's like these stupid kids eating Tide Pods and marching to take our constitutional rights away. They don't know what they're doing. They're fools. They're walking by the flesh. Verse 30, "That ye may be also like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us and fight our battles." Well, we all know the story. They got a king. He was a bad king. Most of the kings that Israel had were not very good. And they had a couple good ones. Even the good ones did a lot of bad stuff. Because the problem was the system wasn't a good system. And it's like you look today, it's like people now we fought a war against the King of England to get our freedoms. But yet, a lot of people in this country still live vicariously through the British royalty. Oh, look, Prince Stupid Face is marrying Sally Simpleton. Oh, I'm the king, wonderful. No, they're not. They're descended from thugs. Actually, I was watching that wonderful Mel Gibson movie, Braveheart. And the British royalty were terrible. And in the end, thousands of people died to get their freedom, and Mel Gibson, that Braveheart character, was sold out by royalty to the other royalty. And they gave him one last chance to give in, and they'd spare his life. What did he do? He yelled, "Freedom!" at the top, you know, because freedom costs. And there's people willing to just sell it down the tubes. And when you follow man, you're not going to be free. You'll lose something, whether it's a king or a president or whatever. And, you know, 10 years ago when Barack Obama ran for president, the black community was all enamored. So, he's our savior. We're going to be... And the black community suffered for 8 years like they'd never suffered before in the United States. And then they get another guy president who's black unemployment's all-time low. Black... What's the other statistic? I can't remember. There was a couple... basically, several statistics at all-time lows for the black community, which means they're doing better. Welfare and other things are doing better than they have. And yet they say, oh, he's a racist. People, they just look at the flesh. They just look, oh, he had brown skin, so we like him. He has white skin, so we hate him. It's popular in the United States to hate white Christian males. That's the popular thing. And there was a time it was popular to hate black. That's all flesh. Doesn't matter. God doesn't save your skin. The skin's the flesh. It's what matters is what's inside us.
Sometimes he says our hides.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You can cut that out.
No, I think I'll leave that in. That's a good one. But, so that's basically all I have to share. So the flesh profits nothing, and we don't follow men. That's what I wanted to share today. And of course, like I always do, I'm always interested in people sharing things to add to this. Any questions, comments?
Sometimes not following men.
Yeah,
we were doing. I read this book called Twisted Scriptures.
Oh, I have that. Good book.
And it's a good book, but you know when she talks about the Bible, she doesn't really handle the Bible very well. A lot of her main points are really good, but with the way she handles the Bible, not very good. So Robert and Mary and I were studying this thing about obedience. Right, because obedience.
Oh.
So what she did is she took this verse that talks about obeying leaders, and she goes to some lexicon, and she says, "See, according to this lexicon, it means such and such." Right, and so I had the same lexicon, and I looked it up, and she included like half of the definition that fit what she was presenting. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway. So we looked at everything in the Word that we could find about it, and we realized that yes, it's a legitimate thing to follow leaders. You know, it's not something it's not a false thing. But to apply it correctly, you got to apply common sense. And I thought about sharing this for several times, but we read the record in Acts 5. Also, if you think of Romans 13, traditionally, most in mainstream Christianity, I think it's talking about the government. Mm-hmm. The way ministry said it was talking about, you know, obeying spiritual leadership. Well, in Acts 5, you had both of those guys at once. You had the religious leaders and you had the government leaders, and the angel said to do the opposite of what they told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel said, go stand and speak. So, and that was not what they were told to not to speak. Well, both the government and the religious leaders.
If you really, I think, really the intent of Romans 13, I've actually worked this a couple of years, maybe a year ago. I haven't taught it, maybe someday I will. But the intent of Romans 13 is basically go stand, speak, follow, you know, we ought to obey God rather than men. And it's just a lot of it has been lost in translation and tradition. And
well, and yeah, but the point is, no matter how it is, you have to apply some common sense to it.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't mean you just, something you don't agree with in the Bible, you say, well, I got common sense, so I don't want to listen to it. But to apply it, you know, if I'm in a fellowship and they say, turn to song number 22, and everybody else sings song 22, and I sing some number 78, that wouldn't be decently in an order. But then if that same person comes to my house and says, what brand of toilet paper do you have? You need to switch to this. You know, that's kind of outside of that realm of responsibility. So,
well, basically, it's the intent of Romans 13 is that if somebody's telling you something that's off the word, you really need to obey God rather than men.
Right. And then, I guess we had a guy in our fellowship a few years back that was telling us that despite what the Way Ministry thought, in the first century there was archaeological evidence that showed that the way they perceived it was government. But it doesn't matter. Whichever way it is, it's the way you apply it that's important.
Again,
I stop at red lights. But if they say, don't speak the word, you know.
Well, people are always trying to make this a law and said, thou shalt not. We're in the age of grace. We're not in the age of thou shalt not. When I first got in the word, we had a huge fellowship, and it was in the 70s. All us guys had long hair, and somebody found a scripture, and they were twisting this scripture into saying that it was you couldn't have long hair. And somebody's always trying to twist something and put your under their thumb and say, you got to obey this law. Oh my God, Kelly, you came to fellowship in short pants. You can't do that. You guys are wearing blue jeans. You can't do that. Oh, my God, I'm wearing tennis shoes. We can't do that. Oh, my, we didn't get, when we prayed, we didn't get down on our knees. We can't do, somebody's always trying to lay a law on you.
I used to work with a guy that, in his church, he couldn't wear shorts. And then the women couldn't wear pants. And then, you know, and then he tried to justify, well, I'm not comfortable with shorts because it's too hot to wear shorts because, you know, the long pants make my legs feel cooler when it's hot outside. Well, that's not how most people perceive it. They wear shorts because it's hot outside. So he tried to justify the religious bondage by saying, you know. And then a couple of years later, he said, you know, I think you're right. I'm going to start wearing shorts.
Well, you know, this last Easter Sunday, there's a church right down the street from me. And we're like, you know, welcome, welcome, come. And I thought, you know, maybe I should go. But then I thought, you know, because I always wear shorts. I don't care if it's winter, spring, fall, whatever. And I thought to myself, I'll bet you if I walked in there with shorts, they would rebuke me and send me on my way. So I didn't even go just because that is such a possibility of reality in these people's minds that, no, you can't. How can you possibly worship God in shorts?
There was a thing I saw on the internet. I don't know if it was true or not. It looked like it could have been one of those stories made up, but it's still an interesting story anyway. This church was getting a new pastor, and this was the Sunday the new pastor was supposed to show up. And so all the people were there, and the new pastor came in incognito, dressed up in dirty clothes and a beard and not cleaned up, you know, and a raggy shirt and all this stuff. And just seeing how many people would be nice to him if he came in that way, as opposed if he came in with his robe and all his hair all neat and clean, and you know, and it's interesting. Almost nobody talked to him, and because they were judging him by the flesh, and they didn't know what was spiritually going on. Nobody saw who he really was. He wanted to see where these people were coming from.
There are situations when we need someone to lead.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. And that's not, I think, the point that you were getting to.
No.
If you're in the military, you've got to obey your commanding officers. And you trust that they are quality people who know what they're doing, who are skilled. And the best case scenario is if they're people who go to God. And just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't mean that that's the case. So there are situations where we have to be led.
Right.
And obviously.
When my boss at work tells me to do something stupid,
that's
what
right.
I do. I do something stupid. Because he's got the authority in that situation and I don't.
Right.
So, I might say, that's a stupid idea.
But for our lives and our relationship with God, it really has to be a God thing. We have to be led by God. One of the things I pray for our Christian community is that they will stop being blinded, that the blinders will come off so that they can see the truth of who Jesus Christ really is, of who God is, because they're getting them confused. And I think that's been a real hindrance to the Christian community as a whole. It's the fact that they're worshiping Jesus rather than God. And
or they're following men rather than God.
So, and what does that to them? Spirit, you know, we were talking about religious spirits. There's religious spirits who have blind. I mean, it talks in the Word about how even the very elect will be deceived. It talks about my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What knowledge? A relationship with God. Jesus Christ gave us a phenomenal gift, unparalleled in all of history. Direct relationship with God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who we can call Abba Father. And people want to water that down with a relationship with anyone else. And they even go to the extreme of using Jesus Christ as a blocking for us to get directly to God. And I think it's a serious problem. And I think that's what sidelines a lot of people in their walk and what they can achieve with God. And it also robs God of a direct relationship with his people who he loves. And I guess that's, for me, a pet peeve, is when people even use Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the most wonderful man that ever lived, as a barrier between them and God. So that's what I see.
That's why the flesh profits nothing.
Yes. So, yeah.
Well, at least we have a Pope who will bless the palms for Easter Sunday, and everything is cool then.
Everything's cool.
Even though
so
he also says there's no difference between the Bible
Seriously,
and the Quran.
Oh, he said that. He blessed a piece of greenery.
Yeah, that's happened all my life.
I had never heard that before.
Oh,
I was just
seriously?
Like, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like, and they walk and they're like, really?
I'll tell you stories about the whole
Catholic
thing.
It was amazing.
What was Deb gonna share?
So this is the New American Standard Bible, and it actually has pretty good translations. So for 1 Corinthians 2:3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. Fleshly. That's pretty good. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? And then he goes on to talk, and for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we lay a foundation, but I thought the word fleshly was hard to say, but interesting to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because King James is kind of hard.
Well, I'm still convinced Yoda was one of the translators on the team. But
do what?
I'm still convinced Yoda was one of the translators of the King James Bible.
I'm reading. That's my reading this year.
So
let's do it.
NASB. Just to build a foundation on Jesus Christ and to stay on that, not on gold or silver or finances or another person. Like, our foundation is Jesus Christ, and he gave us everything. But like Diane was saying, that foundation made it available to have a direct relationship with God. So that was cool. Thank you.
All right. Why don't we bless the food? I'll have a closing prayer. We'll bless the food. We'll continue to hang out
and don't forget to bless the plants while you're at it.
Plants?
Yeah.
Plants do crave electrolytes.
Yeah.
You didn't have those, what are they called? Palms?
Palms. Yeah.
You don't have any
Palm
of those?
Palm Sundays.
No.
That was 2 years ago.
The correlation.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's a silly tongue.
But Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship today. Thank you that we can not look to our flesh because our flesh is imperfect. You know, I'm thankful that we have these wonderful, amazing human bodies to live in, but I know someday that these bodies will cease to exist and we will be spiritual beings. And thank you that we can look to you, we can have that direct relationship with you, and we can walk spiritually, we can have life and peace and not have fear and not be tormented by the adversary, but we can walk like Jesus Christ did and set others free. And Father, I thank you that each one of us can be walk as men. We can rise up as men and women of God, and we can be ambassadors for Christ. And we can just, when people see us coming, they just see something different. And they say, what's with that person? And I thank you that we can walk like that. And thank you for blessing the food in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you for this wonderful weather we have today and the sunshine and all that other stuff. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.